I'm Stephanie Gillard, the Producing Artistic Director at American Stage. Welcome to Spotlight, the American Stage podcast, where we illuminate the artistry and ideas behind the stories.
Hello, I'm Kristen Clippard, the Associate Artistic Director at American Stage, and today I'm talking with the cast of Nosotros la Gente by Jerry Montoya, the next show in our digital series. We're going to talk about the process, the play, and everything in between. So here we go.
I'm so excited to be introducing today two actors coming to us from Miami, Florida, Daniel Yaka and Diana Garley. We're so excited that you both are here. Hi!
Hi! Thanks so much for having us. We're really excited to be here too.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you are both so delightful. And full disclaimer, I am actually the co-director of this piece. So it's an interesting conversation that we're going to have today, considering that all three of us have been in the room working on shaping this brand new play, an epic story that covers a growing relationship and a family being built, soil being tilled, and soldiers going off to war, which is such a quintessentially American story that starts out in the 1940s. So let's get started. In the play, Diana and Daniel, you guys are playing several different characters in this story, right?
Truth.
But the main characters are the ones whose story that we follow exclusively, Sophie and Salvador. And also, Daniel, you're playing Santiago, and Santiago and Salvador are brothers. Mm-hmm. So you're a couple in real life, but you're actually playing a couple, two different couples in the story. Does that happen to you a lot in your career? And how is, and if, and tell us about that, and how is this experience unique?
Well, it's never happened quite like this in our careers. We've never really had the chance to do something so intimate with each other as actors. Until the pandemic is when I guess we felt more comfortable putting ourselves out there in that regard, because yeah. we knew the value, the importance of us being, you know, quarantined together and things like that. And suddenly it felt like we were in a unique opportunity to keep telling stories and creating art in a way that not everyone was might be able to. And, you know, it kind of felt, it felt selfish not to, you know, capitalize on that a little bit, not to bring that to the table.
Yeah, the pandemic definitely changed things for us. We were able to book a few commercials and things like that. But actually, before the pandemic, we'd been cast in a musical together. Mm-hmm. And then it got, you know, it got postponed till next year. So we were kind of bummed up about that. So being able to do this is so exciting because it's so intimate and so real, and like it's also very scary, I think, to act so intimately with somebody that you are very intimate with outside of the stage, because it does change a little bit of the dynamic. I think it works in our favor.
There's a couple of times where we were in our heads a little bit about, like, you know, man, her mom is going to watch this. I don't want her to see me doing this. I don't want her to, it's just little things that are kind of just built in. You got to fight through. You can't really help but think about the first time you're running a scene or a monologue that you got to say something or do something that's a little intimate, and you're doing it with someone whom you're intimate with. And, you know, that was definitely one little hurdle we had to get through, because we'd never really done anything quite like this before.
Yeah.
I have to say, watching you two, you work very well together. You're very giving and very patient and understanding of each other's process because you know it so well.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah. Oh, God. This would have been a really bad sign if you didn't say that. Like, I have to say, you know, for a couple, you guys are really at the end of the rope here. You're a ticking time bomb, let me tell you.
That or if you are at each other's throats at home, you hide it very well.
we
aren't naturally like fighters, but it's interesting. I think that the pandemic really shaped our relationship in a very different way, because
it was a catalyst. You know, before the pandemic began, we had already been dating for a little while, but you know, to suddenly quarantine with someone for, you know,
months.
Living with someone in and of itself is a really big step. quarantining with someone because it's a global pandemic and everyone's lives are completely uncertain from one day to the next, that's just, that adds a layer of stress onto the situation that can't, really can't be, you can't put a word to it. You can't put a value on that. So the relationship kind of felt like, it was put through into the fast lane.
Yeah, fast pass into.
Yeah, we had to learn a lot about each other. And I think that's where that patience you were talking about comes from, is we were able to grow as a couple in a way that if it wasn't based with compassion and patience and love at the absolute forefront, which I guess every relationship should be based on that way. But if this one wasn't, it was just never going to stand the pressures of a quarantine, of a pandemic, of yeah. loss of work, loss of loved ones. It was just never going to get through that.
And we were, we're actors first, we've been acting for years or our entire lives. So it also, there's that trust in that as well, that mm-hmm. it's like, we understand that we both have two different processes and that we have to meet each other halfway.
Right. I think that's what we were able to bring to this. And this might have been the first time we played a couple, but because we've both been acting for several years, we knew at least how to respect the processes that we didn't know each other had. So every time we would come up with a snag or discover something new about each other, it helped to remember that we're actors first and be like, oh, okay. And then also the underlying compassion and love we have for each other, it just made it, even easier to understand, like, oh, this is what you need right now. This is your process. All right, word, I got you. Whatever you need, let's do it, let's run it.
Well, and your personal intimacy is a bonus, but you both individually bring such strength to these characters. And we have to talk about how this play, of course, written by Jerry Montoya and being co-directed with myself. Jerry is out in California, in Sacramento. That's why he's not here with us right now. It's 6 a.m. California time, and we would not want to do that to poor Jerry because he's been working so hard. But this is a personal family story of Jerry's, and he has really, really been giving and open about the dynamics of his family and how this story evolved and where it came from. And so it's been so beautiful, learning so much about it and developing a new play is so exciting. And this play, it takes place in the Coachella Valley of California. And, so much of what he writes about, is personal, and shaping the story as you build your characters is quite a process. There's a lot to consider. So I would like to ask you, what have you enjoyed learning most about this story in particular as you've been working?
I mean, the fact that it's based off of true events for me kind of took it to a whole nother level. Like you said, Jerry's basing this off of a lot of things in his family, and that insight is so cool, and also so scary to have to, to live up to that and to be able to bring that to life. It's very, very exciting. And just to learn about, what that time was like. I am Mexican American, but I grew up with my Colombian side of the family. And I grew up in Miami. My family migrated here not that early, they migrated in the 1980s, and it was a completely different world than what we're talking about in the beginning of the play, which is the 1940s, World War II. And just to think of that and to think, these aren't immigrants. These are Americans, Mexican Americans in this play. And they consider themselves American, and they are American. And they are the people that shaped us into who we are as a culture. So it's really cool to learn that, to learn the steps that it took to be where we are today, kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it feels to me in the past couple of years that there's been, and I think I've said this before, that there's a growing sense of tribalism. People are really drawing lines in the sand and trying to distinguish themselves based on their own little clubs, their own little niches and cliques, whether it's through culture or whether it's through ideology or what have you. And it's really, it's really important to go back and look at this intimate story of people who, you know, are Mexican American, and realize that this story, despite how unique and sort of epic and harrowing that it might be, is still just a very American story. It's a story that transcends those lines, where we can all remember that, yeah, it's good and it's powerful to have your own, your own sense of family and your own sense of community. But there is always a greater sense of oneness within our country that we have to remember. That it, you know, it's this pure form of patriotism of, even if I don't understand what you're going through, you're my kin, you're my family by virtue of this land. And it was also really interesting because we're in this pandemic, and you know, there's so much that happens in life, in regular adult life, that's ridiculous and crazy and hard to deal with. And then this pandemic on top made it almost impossible to deal with at times. And then we looked at this story, and it was kind of humbling to remember, no, we've never had a global pandemic like this, but the story spans several wars. I mean, it spans several civil rights movements. It spans so many things. And it was kind of really interesting to settle into that and realize, like, this is our experience right now. It's a global pandemic, but it is also a very American experience for us, in terms of there's always been some life-changing event happening in whatever generation, in whatever decade. And so we're a people that have always been sort of forced to grow and evolve under really, really strenuous circumstances. And that kind of is America's heritage. That kind of is America's culture. And it's been that way since the 40s. And I got to remind myself of that, watching these characters go through this crazy event after crazy event after crazy event, while at the same time still just trying to be a family. And it made me realize, like, man, isn't that exactly what we're all trying to do right now? Isn't that what we're always just trying to do?
Yeah, we will persevere through these circumstances. Yeah, I love that. Thank you for saying that. That's a great parallel. Yeah, we're not exactly in a world war, but it is a world event that we are all experiencing. So yeah, I can see that. I'd say that, I think it's safe to say that as a group, we kind of fell in love with this descriptions of the desert, the very artful narration given as direct address by some of the characters, the main characters, and the secondary love relationship in the script, which we won't go into too much detail because we don't want to give all the good stuff away. But I'd love to ask you too, what about the writing and the style of the play do you find most appealing?
Well, it's poetry. You know, it's the narration parts of it, and even just the language in between the characters. There's so much, it's so rich. You know, we're saying a lot but not saying a lot, and there's so much subtext to it. And Jerry just does such an amazing job at finding that. You know,
so good.
At finding the, you know, what are you saying versus what's happening under the text. And finding both of those things at the same time. And
and how the desert informs that text, you know, like the desert, the landscape really feels like another character in the show. And there's just certain moments, 100%. There's like little bits of narration, things that a character will say that just feel like they wouldn't speak like that or have that opinion if they weren't raised in this harsh environment. Yeah. And so, and we think of the desert as this, you know, lifeless sort of hellscape, and the play really makes you feel like it's a beautiful it's a really beautiful place to raise a family. Funny enough,
it's such a cool thing to have the environment and the landscape be a character. I agree with you completely. I think it is a very important part of the story. Mm-hmm. I think that the audience is going to be delighted by the narration, because there's just, it feels like an extra treat when a character looks directly at you and talks to you and invites you right into their mind's eye. You know, I think that's a very special part of the play too.
Yeah, especially in the style in which we're doing it. You know, it's not just an aside to an audience, you know, in like a Shakespearean address the whole crowd. You know, we get to be really, really sort of specific. We get to be really intimate
it's
when we want
intimate.
To. And that's really cool. I'm excited for that.
Mm-hmm.
As one of your directors, I'm sure it's been quite an experience for you guys having me there, and then having Jerry on screen, you know, talking to you and giving different thoughts, and having two perspectives sort of guide the play. Has that been an exciting way to work for you, or has that had its challenges for you?
I think it's been a treat. I mean, first of all, Jerry is like our great and powerful Oz in the room, except like a nicer, like not a villain version
of it. He's just up on this giant 70,000-inch TV screen the whole time.
And it's just his face.
It's hooked up to an amp, so he just, whenever he speaks, you know, the cars outside stop to listen. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's a really cool experience because Jerry obviously knows the play so well because he wrote it. And so we have that insight. And then you're in the room with us, Kristen. So we're discovering things in the room with you. And what I've loved about it is that it's been so collaborative. Like there's never been a no, you know what I mean? We're always just trying to like, what is best for this? And that it makes it really like to feel like a team. You know, mm-hmm. I think you and Jerry are a really good team. And everybody else working on it is a really good team. And it just, it helps heighten the story and bring the story, give weight to the story, you know what I mean? Having these different perspectives.
Yeah, because if there was any challenge, it was the fact that, you know, Jerry isn't in the room with us. And we're all very sort of like empathetic creatures. And Jerry is a lovable giant if I've ever met one. So there's been a lot of, you know, challenge with not being...
I'm actually taller than him in real life, just saying.
we believe it. I think there's a reason that he never stands up in Zoom. I think he doesn't want to... but it's just, you know, like not being able to feel people's energies, you know, that gets in the way sometimes because sometimes that's you know, that's like the sauce of the creative pie and we just, you know, and it helps. But the fact that he's over Zoom has been, you know, at first it felt like a disconnect. That's always how these Zoom things feel. But because everyone was just so, you know, willing and open and like, let's just do the best that we can do. And there's no wrong answers. Best idea wins. All this sort of supportive, like atmosphere, this really supportive atmosphere. So I think we got over that as quickly as we could.
And also the mediums that we're working with, we are doing theater for a camera, you know? And that, finding that line between, you know, where is it too much? You know, where do we have to incorporate a little bit of film technique into it? Where do we incorporate most of our theater technique into it? We've both done film and TV, but it's just been so nice to have, you know, Jerry watching us through a screen and you watching us in person, because it helps that hybrid. It helps bring those two things together.
Yeah, very much so.
You know, there's been times where we'll do things and Jerry was watching somebody else in the camera. And that was like, that's just something good to know that it's like, okay, well, now we can take this choice and plug it in somewhere else, because that's, you know, where we're working with a different medium.
Yeah, and it actually worked out really well in a lot of ways, because Jerry had the extra hurdle of also being the playwright and kind of having to wear both of those hats, being the writer and a co-director. So there were plenty of times where he just needed to do his job as a writer and not look and just listen to the flow and listen to the words and make sure that it sounded the way that it was meant to sound or as natural as it was meant to. And then he got to, you know, rely on you to be his eyes. And then, you know, so there was a lot of give and take where I kind of think having, you know, co-directors, I think it was the best thing for this piece. It's kind of thing.
And so many discoveries were made. Like we had table work with just you, Kristen, and then we had table work with just Jerry.
Oh yeah.
And we learned so much, you know, and Jerry, it's so funny. He, at the beginning of the process, he was like, you know, I was imagining these people as they were my family. And now I see you guys as playing it, which is an honor. This story is so beautiful, and so it was such an insight to be able to have the two different table reads and the two different, well, we had table reads together, but the two different like table talks, you know, where we got to talk about the characters, then we got to bring these ideas to Jerry, and Jerry was like, yes, everything was yes and, mm-hmm. you know, which was so cool, you know, having you guys co-direct one in person and one on screen.
And then we've got our team of designers, Jared Fox, Benjamin Ismail, and of course, our stage manager, Rachel Harrison, production coordinator, and they are all helping this, the storytelling as well by choosing camera angles and helping sculpt lights and sound.
Bring that desert to life in every way that they can. You know, they're just rock stars, dude.
Yeah, they're incredible. They have this vision. They have this, they like talk about a team, dream team with them.
Oh, yeah. And Rachel being a what's it called? A COVID compliance officer, being a certified COVID compliance officer, as well as a stage manager and a production coordinator. That was awesome. I mean, the knowledge she has of this virus and of the protocols, you know, it just goes such a long way to be able to put that part of our minds at ease and just, you know, focus on the work. And she's just so great about cleaning, not touching what's not to be touched, making sure nobody else touches what's not to be touched, and making sure the room is like safe, no one's going in there, things like that. I mean, it was just awesome. This is everyone's giving 110% here, and it's awesome.
It's been so great to watch you two play, question, grow, fail, try again, and succeed in this medium of film storytelling, as you mentioned, Diana. I'd like to ask, there's a lot of naysayers about this medium out there who just, you know, kind of write it off like, well, it's not theater, I'm not interested, right? And that's okay, I certainly respect that. You know, everyone has their opinions about the best way to tell a story. But I'm curious to know, after really, really diving deep in this experience, how has this broadened your sense of what's possible with digital theater?
Well, isn't it the purpose of theater to kind of push boundaries and expand our limits? I mean, every couple of generations, theater sort of gets redefined in a new way. It gets done in a new style. It gets written in a new theme, you know, what have you. There's always people who say that, you know, hashtag not my theater, and that's not their thing, and that's not how they want to ingest their art, and that's okay, you know. There was, I remember somebody told me that when books were invented, everyone thought that they were gonna ruin society because, you know, stories were meant to be passed down orally, and if we write them down, we would lose value in that. And, you know, so there's always gonna be a transition period, a getting used to period. And I think it's our job as artists to try and push those boundaries and push those limits. Yeah. And if it's not your way, then that's okay. But you know, give it a shot.
I'd much rather have theater than not have it at all.
Exactly. You know? We have to do what we have to do to continue telling stories. And if the alternative is to let theater die just so that it can die in its purest form, then no thank you.
And
you
know, our job is to tell stories. Our job is to emote. And our job is also to keep our people safe. So if we can do all three in the same medium, then this is incredible. You know, this is the best thing that we can do, you know?
1,000%.
And I'm so excited for the future of this, you know, like what we're doing is like so crazy to me, and it's incredible. It's like, it's so cool. And I can't wait to see how this medium expands, because not only are we keeping our people safe, but we're also, you know, what a way to be able to bring live theater and good theater to people all over the world, to communities that may not have access to be able to go into a theater, to, you know, right. People, I have people in my family who are going to be able to watch it from a hospital. Exactly. You know,
it's the accessibility. I mean, we're in a pandemic now. But people have immunodeficiency disorders. There's all kinds of reasons why people haven't been able to go to the theater as it is, you know. And we just kind of, you know, figure that there's no it's too expensive to cater to them or what have you, whatever the reasoning is, they might be a very, very small fraction of the population. But with a medium like this, they don't have to be excluded in any way. If you don't feel comfortable for whatever reason going into a crowded room to watch live theater, this is an option for you. And I think the more we work on this, the more we perfect this, the more we make it a cohesive way of storytelling and an effective way of storytelling, the more people it can reach. And
you guys are like gonna make me cry right now because you're saying all the things that I believe in so deeply, because we care about what we do so much because we believe it makes a difference, right? And yes, as you mentioned, Diana, I think that historically theater has always been behind the times, right? Especially in technology. But man, has this year like sent us on a trajectory to where I'm so excited to see how it evolves after this time and how it becomes more integrated and more useful. And yes, accessibility is so important, and it is so, so crucial that people have the chance, the opportunity to get to see a story that is so meaningful as this one.
Yeah, I mean, my grandmother's gonna get to watch this show, and she's a little too old now, and it's a little too dangerous for her to go out into a crowded theater to watch shows, you know, but she always wants to support her little grandson, and she never gets to. So it's something as small as that.
It's a way of keeping arts culture alive. You know, there's always this stigma that it's like, you know, the older generations, they know what theater is. But a lot of the times it's because younger generations do not get the opportunity to experience these kinds of plays, these kinds of this theater, this kind of art form. So it definitely expands our like bandwidth of generations, you know, like my little cousins are going to be able to watch it, and but you know what I mean? Like they'll be able to watch it. They'll be able, and hopefully they fall in love with this art, you know, and it's not for them. I mean, if they want to follow it and pursue it as careers, that's great. But also just having people that want to watch it, you know, that's, I think the most beautiful thing about it is that we'll be able to expand and hopefully get people to like love it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
And we, you know, we're of course very biased because we've fallen in love with the story, and we know how rich it is and how much it has affected us personally as a group of creators together. I wanna end our time today by just mentioning that, you know, because this is a story that expands generations, and it follows this couple's unlikely journey through the loss of a loved one, of a shared loss. It really is a joyful story. And I'm curious to know what you hope audiences will walk away with.
I hope they walk away with some semblance of hope, personally. Yeah, I hope they walk away with some idea in whatever they need hope for. If they're hopeful for that the theater lives on, I hope they can see that it has a pulse, and it's a strong one, and it's a steady one. If they're hopeful that the pandemic does not tear down, you know, the faculties of our community, I hope they can see the love and collaboration that we all have together on this show and what we've done with, you know, with our little community. So I hope they can walk away from this with a little bit of hope that, you know, it's not all darkness out there. We find a way, yeah. Just like the family in the story did. There's a perseverance that's timeless, that's ever constant.
Yeah, I hope they walk away with a sense of community, you know, of feeling that like you are not alone, you know, like we're all in things together, you know. Nosotros la gente, we the people, we go through these things. Mm-hmm. We all grow, and specifically now during a pandemic, like we're all learning together. We're all adapting together. We're all changing together. We're all learning from the growth together. And I hope, you know, everyone leaves it with a sense of community and love and unity. Cause I feel like something that the pandemic has done it's just, everything is so filtered now. You know, we don't get that personal, you know, that touch, that connection. So I hope that through this, they feel a sense of connection and community and love and the hug. They feel a hug.
I feel the hug that we're sending to them. For sure.
I love that. It is. It is a big virtual hug, this show. It's very true. And we're just so grateful to Jerry Montoya for choosing to share his story with us and with the world. So thank you both for your work and for talking with me about the play today. For everyone out there listening, Nosotros La Gente runs the opening, the world premiere, the fireworks and spotlights is December 4th, and it runs through December 20th. And you can get tickets at americanstage.org. And we hope that you will join us for this extraordinary play. Diana and Daniel, what a treat. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. We hope to see you virtually.
Thank you for joining Spotlight, the American Stage podcast. For more American Stage programs and news, visit americanstage.org.